All right, so I've got to pretend y'all are all 7th and 8th graders because that's what I'm used to talking to. Not really used to being up in front of a crowd like this, but I'm going to give it to you how God gives it to me, and we'll see what happens. So for starters, I want to share with you my calling to Christianity. I grew up in a family, not active in church, very good people, not necessarily active in church. So my experiences at church were with my grandmother. I would go sit with her, Linwood Baptist Church, or when I went and spent the night with a friend on a Saturday night, I'd get up and go with them on a Saturday morning. So I was very limited in church as a young child. I didn't have a lot of experiences with just being in the church. Had a great music minister at Linwood. How many years ago was that, Brother Richard? We don't have to tell him. All right, he poured a lot into me. As I sat back and got into my late 20s and 30s and started thinking about it, once I got back here at East Philadelphia with Brother Richard, that really started to weigh on my mind exactly how much he had poured into me. So, Brother Richard, I want to take this opportunity for thanking you for pouring into me as a young man. But at the age of about 12 years old, active in the youth music group there at Linwood, I made a decision to follow Christ. I gave my life over to the Lord. And from that point, for about the next 20 years of my life, I didn't necessarily live a Christian life. I found my way going down many paths that I shouldn't have been down, mainly in the category of drugs. My main drug that I like to use was marijuana. I can tell you for about a decade of my life, not a day went by that I was not in the pits of that struggle. Now, it wasn't limited to just that. If somebody put something out in front of me, by golly, I was going to do it and I was going to enjoy it. But that was not the Christian life. That was not the Christian thing that I should have been doing. Thankfully, along the way, I got married to my wife, Ginger, a very devoted lady. And she drugged me to church on Sunday mornings. And I sat in the pews on Sunday mornings and I told myself, Lord, when I get clean, I'm coming back to you. When I fix myself, I'm going to come back to you. And I'm going to be who I need to be. And so every week would roll by. I sat in the pew, Lord, when I get good, I'm coming back to you. And it never happened. Never happened. I never wanted to get myself clean. I never wanted to deal with my issues myself because I can't do it. So one day, God finally convicted me. He said, look, if you want to come back to me, you let me fix you. So I sat right over here in the pew, and I said, all right, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I can't fix myself, but I'm going to rely on you to fix me. And from that moment forward, I have not had one desire to go back to those ways. I've completely walked away from that. That is not something that is a priority in my life anymore. My priorities have changed. And in that process, we had a youth service here. It was countywide thing with the kids here, and one of the things that I kept hearing was the Great Commission. Go and tell. So in the process of God dealing with me, getting me straight, putting me where I needed to be, he kept playing go and tell. So this would have been last school year. At the end of the school year, I was still serving as the softball coach, but I knew that that was not where I needed to be. That's when I decided that I was going to give up the softball job. I'd already signed a contract to teach, so I knew I had one more year of teaching, but I immediately began looking online. Where can I go? Where can I go to tell? I'm looking at Asia. I'm looking at Europe. I'm looking wherever in the world I can go because God is clearly telling me, go and tell. So in the meantime of me looking for places to go, looking for things to do, how can I go and tell? A young man by the name of Jimmy Guilford, who is the FCA representative for our area, was coming into the schools, and he was pouring into me as I poured into the kids in the school. And he said, look, he said, I just want you to know, I've accepted a new role. I'm not going to be able to come into the Philadelphia area anymore. I'm now in charge. He's now the football chaplain at Mississippi State. He's a baseball chaplain. He's FCA on-campus guy, so he has a full plate. He said, but, you know, FCA is kind of looking for possibly hiring somebody in this area, being a full-time representative in this area, to be able to go forth and just, you know, do the things that you feel like God's calling you to. So here I am with God's giving me the Great Commission, go and tell, and I'm looking all around the world. An opportunity comes knocking on my door to be a missionary right here at home. Now, 33 years old, I've lived 30 years in this town, in this community. This is my community. I love this community. As I'm scrolling through, looking at places to go, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to do very well in China. If you don't know me, I don't eat a lot of exotic foods. Meats and potatoes, that's it. So I'm not going to do well in China if that's where I'm going. I don't know. But this opportunity to be right here in Philadelphia with the FCA, reaching kids in our schools, has presented itself. So let me transition out of how I got here and tell you what the FCA is. The FCA is a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. This is a 70-year-old ministry, all right? This has been going on for quite some time. And there are four key points to the FCA. They have this nice little catchy thing called the four C's, all right? So the first one is coaches. So the job of the FCA is to minister to coaches. And once you minister to the coach then takes their life and they apply the Christian way, and it pours into the kids and the athletes around the school as well. The second C is camps. All right, so they put on camps different areas of the country every year where they send kids out. Not only are they skills camps for sporting events or sporting different sports, they are also spiritual camps. There are places for these kids to go to be able to really get back to knowing the Lord. The third C is community, where you are pouring into the community. This is kind of the newest aspect of the FCA, and this is where they're really getting into the travel ball scene, where they're getting into the parks and recs leagues all around the country, and it's a way to get into those coaches and those kids' lives as well. And the last C is campus. It's reaching campuses. So as an FCA person, I would be going to each and every school in our area. I would be Kemper County, Neshoba County, and Leake County to begin with. When you add that up, you've got Kemper County, Kemper Academy, East Mississippi. Those are three campuses there in Kemper. Neshoba Central, Philadelphia, Choctaw Central. That's three schools here. Leake County, there are two high school campuses, public campuses in Leake County, and then also Leake Academy. So when you add those up, that's quite a few schools and campuses that at this point don't have a person going into there, pouring into their coaches and pouring into their kids. So my vision of the FCA really kind of gives you freedom on how you want to serve and how you want to your ministry to go. My ministry, I feel like God put me into coaching for to teach me some lessons about coaching. Anybody in here that has ever been a coach knows that it can be one of the most fulfilling professions of your life, or it can be one of the most lonely professions of your life. So I understand the struggles that coaches have been through. So my view, my vision for the FCA is I really want to get in to each of these schools. I really want to get to sit down with each and every coach that's there. I want to minister to those coaches, and then have those coaches start to begin to live godly lives. And as they live godly lives, it's going to in turn pour down into those kids, and we're going to see an impact on each and every school campus through these kids for the next generation. That's my vision. Now, to kind of let you know how a godly coach can impact kids, a few weeks ago I had a meeting with some guys around town as I'm trying to get this ministry lifted off the ground. And Tuesday night, I was meeting with them on Wednesday. On Tuesday, I had no idea what I was going to share with them on how the FCA has made an impact on me or Philadelphia's campus or anything with Philadelphia. I had no clue. So I'm sitting there Tuesday all day at work getting ready to go to a softball game on Tuesday. I'm thinking, God, I really need something to share. So we get the bus loaded up. My assistant coach, her was soon to be her father-in-law, passed away suddenly on that Monday. So she was not going to make it to the game. I was going, taking my whole softball team off by myself. She was experiencing loss and turmoil. I also had another kid on my team who was going to be facing surgery on Wednesday. We were headed down to Forest, to Scott Central. As I turn on, turn at Good Hope, get on 485, cutting over to 21, I hear my kids on the bus start talking. And everybody, they're saying, gather around, come, everybody come to the front. And I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good. Anytime folks start gathering up on the bus is not a good thing. So I'm sitting there thinking, this isn't good. And I'm driving, and I'm trying to look in the mirror to make sure nobody's getting hurt at this point. So I'm driving the bus, and I hear them say, everybody be sure you touch somebody. All right. Where are we going? So the next thing I know, as I'm driving, I feel a hand placed on my shoulder. The girl sitting on the front seat places her hand on my shoulder. And I hear one say, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm thinking, wow. I look up in the mirror. Every kid on the bus is in about a 10-row span of seats. Every kid has got their hands on the other shoulders. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. And every person is sitting there praying, not just for our teammate who's about to have surgery the next day, but they're also praying for our assistant coach's family, who they have not even met. They've never met this family before in their life, but they are praying for that family in their time of loss. So you ask yourself, well, that's a good story. How does that change things? Well, for a long time, I've coached for 7 years. For five and a half years of that, I was not a godly man. I was a good man. I was not a godly man. Never saw anything like that in my life. Once God stepped into my life and said, I'm going to fix you, once he fixed me and put me where I needed to be, and he showed me and prioritized what needed to be in my life, I began to live that. Nothing that I said to those kids, nothing that I have done to those kids, it was simply what I lived out in my life. And as I lived it out in my life, I snapped a picture. I told my superintendent, said, look, I know it was illegal, I shouldn't have snapped a picture, but I had to. Snapped a picture in the mirror, so I have a picture of every one of my softball girls, heads down, eyes closed, praying for people that they didn't even know. And, you know, had I not been living a godly life at that point, that moment may not have happened. So the impact that a coach can have is tremendous. A coach can reach so many kids on a daily basis. So as I continue in my vision, I really want to reach out to these coaches, help these coaches to really get their lives in order, prioritize God first in their lives, and as they continue to live that out, we're going to see an impact through these kids on our campuses.
Good. I'm going to call you back up at the end, though. He did well. He had about 8 more minutes before I was going to pull the plug. Some of y'all, and I joked about it this earlier this morning, I said, I know there's probably somebody thinking, if he finishes early, they're like, why can't the preacher be like that? Jordan is so right. I want to read to you a verse found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. His disciples were so concerned about so many things, and they were the wrong things. Their focus was not where it needed to be. And in that, Jesus says this, because they want power, but they're not wanting it for the right reason. And Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If we have come to Christ, and we are saved, then there are some things that are going to happen in our lives. One is, we're going to receive power. Not from man, but we're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit of God Himself. In that is not just the power that we get, but it is the proclamation and the mandate that's been given to us that we would be His witnesses. It doesn't say, you're going to get power, and then if you want to be my witness, that's up to you. It says, you will get power from me, and you will be my witnesses. for Jordan, this is what it looks like for him to be a witness for Christ. But what does it look like for you to be a witness? You may say, well, Pastor, there are no more spots left for FCA. It's already been taken. This is just a good word for me to hear. What are you doing? Where has God put you? And how are you being a witness for Him? If you have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, working through you, then you must be a witness for Christ. Now, what that looks like can be different. How each of us witnesses for Christ can be different. But we need to be a witness for Christ. That needs to be evident. And this morning, maybe you have made a commitment to Christ and the power of God is upon your life, but you're not doing what you need to do. You're not using it effectively nor efficiently. And maybe this morning, you want a life to be different and you can't change it. You can't fix it. You said to yourself time and time again, God, now you know I'm going to come to you when I fix it. Want to get it straight. But how long have you been saying that? How long have you been fighting that fight, trying to do things in your own power? When God said, I'll give you all the power you need. All you have to do is just trust me. Well, this morning, you can do that. You can trust in the work of God through the person of Christ and the promise that He has given, that power will come to you. And then you can be a witness, not for a God, but for the God. The one and only God, who is the King. I heard someone tell me yesterday that they knew someone who was struggling with all kinds of things in their life, and they had fallen into a place of depression, and they were struggling to get out. And this one person said, are you a Christian? Well, yeah. Do you claim Christ? Yeah. And they said, now look, I'm not saying that that's going to lift you out of your depression, but here's what you need to know. You're not someone stuck in a dark, lonely basement. You are a child of the King. You need to live like that. You need to know that. It doesn't mean that we don't have sad days, dark days, ineffective days. But sometimes we as Christians, we live and we have forgotten of the King who came and died for us and the King who came that we might have life to live for Him. We're children of the King. And we have been given power on high and called to be His witnesses. I'm so thankful that God is doing a wonderful work in so many areas of this church. And I don't know how many missionaries, if you will, have come out of East Philadelphia Baptist Church. But I want you to know that that's something to take pride in. Humble pride in. That God is raising up men and women that might make a difference. Not only in this church, but in the community in which we live. How proud do you think people are that maybe went to the church where Billy Graham grew up? Well, don't you know that's the church where Billy Graham went to? Don't you know that's the church where Billy Sunday preached? Don't you know that's the church that Adrian Rogers pastored for years? I don't know what God has in store for the people that will come out of this church, but I know this, if we are in Christ, we have power and we've been called to be a witness, and God will do what He wants to do, and He will do great and mighty things if we will only be obedient. And we will follow after Him. And so, this morning, as I was taking my notes, God wants to fix us. And when He does, He will fit us. And upon fitting us, we will have nothing less in our hearts than to want to focus on Him, His will, and His glory. And then we see that radically change, not only the church that we are a part of, but the community in which we live. And I'm so excited about the future for this community, for the young boys and girls, and the coaches, who maybe on some days it's not the greatest delight for them. It's a lonely challenge. And I am so proud to know that for these children, these coaches, and these families in this community, they will know that there is a church that loves them, praying for them, and wants to serve them with the love of Christ. And I pray that it would light a fire in every other church, in every other Christian, so that we might be a people who are filled with the Spirit, and we see it as a privilege to be ambassadors for Christ.